Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here on this another beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is shining. It's a little cool, but boy, it's good. Good to be here and good to see all of us. And we have a visitor. We're so thankful for him being here and pray that he'll come back. Eric is out today. They said he's working, I understand, and hopefully he'll be back with us next week. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. I don't want you to ever take my word. Never take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. As I told you last week, I want to talk to you this morning about the local church and what I owe to it. The local church and what I or you and I owe to the local church. Brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over, and this is one of them. I've preached it several times. I try to preach it once a year, here. And I didn't last year, but I did several years before. And I hope that none of us ever get to the point where we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. Turn your Bibles to Acts, the 9th chapter, please. Identification with a local church was a practice of the New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. So here we see authority. We are to identify ourselves to the local church and the local work that is done there. I ask you, do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being part of a congregation that is a working congregation, a congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord? I believe that we have that right here at Prairie Village. I ask each of you, do you really appreciate this? Do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to the Prairie Village, the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village congregation and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it, and what you and I owe to it. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. In the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is the first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to it to all the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, Hebrews 12 and verse 23. When Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was speaking. When Paul speaks of us being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible tells us, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense, to the body of the saved. Look with me at Acts 8, if you would, please. Acts chapter 8. We begin reading in verse 35 and read on down through verse 39. Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved and added to the one body of the saved, to the church in the universal sense. Now this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, no authority to appoint worldwide officers, no authority to collect a treasury or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. The Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take their names away from that list, which would be the same as the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to consider with me 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, if you would. Paul wrote in verse 19 of 2 Timothy 2, he says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, if you would, turn over to Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5 tells us, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now there are individual activities that we do because of our relationship to Christ in this universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. As a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, perform as a husband and a father, and do all the other activities, always, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Look at Galatians 2:20, if you will. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, Paul wrote these beautiful words in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think those words are beautiful. I love that passage. All of this related to the universal church in the Christian's place, and it is true. But there is another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament, and this is the local sense, as in a local or a local congregation. We read of the churches of God, which is at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. We read of the churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. All of this indicates locality, speaking of a church in the local sense as in a local congregation. I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or place and join another there, while never ceasing to be a Christian, nor ceasing to belong to the church in the universal sense. We read of Paul in Acts 9 and verse 26 seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. We read that out. He was seeking to identify with the local church there. It's clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to work and worship with that within that group. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are additional to the ones I have as a member of the universal church. The question is, what then do I owe the local church of which I am a member? What do I owe the congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I'd like to mention, as a member of Prairie Village, I owe this local congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord, because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. And brethren, this may shock you, but in a local congregation, or most any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, everybody at every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans, and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of that truth. I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a church having troubles, I think of the Corinthian church. Brethren, there was a congregation with some big, big problems. And I'm going to give you these problems that the church of Corinth had chapter by chapter. And you don't have to turn. If you want these later, I'll be glad to give them to you. But in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 5, we read of incest being tolerated in the church. In chapter 6, it is the sad story of brethren going to law or to court against one another. In chapter 7, it was marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, problems some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. And in chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. Chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14, again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies. And in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. My friends, this was a congregation with some serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it. He didn't give up and just go running away because of its internal struggles. No, he chose to seek and to work out those serious problems and to help them correct them. He addressed them as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible teaches the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation. There's no such thing in the New Testament as floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances God recognizes as faithful one who refuses to settle down with a local group. Neither is anything such as membership back home. I used to hear that when I was a kid. It's simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years without claiming membership while claiming membership somewhere else. We need local church membership because we need association with the saints, Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders, Acts 20 and verse 28. We need scriptural discipline, Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. We need collective worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church, Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. We receive many blessings from our membership in a local congregation. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligations as members. As members, we must make sure that the truth is taught. Ephesians 5, verse 14. We are told to obey the elders. Hebrews 3 and verse 17. 13 and 17. As members, we are to live righteously as examples to others in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. As members, we are to admonish our brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. As members, we should give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And as members, we are asked to participate in this program of work here, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And we are required to attend all assemblies possible. The second point. I owe the body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please. We all know Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24, most of us do, which says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Brethren, all brethren, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become so discouraged. Each of us can be weakened little by little, and we get tired. But the Lord knows that. He knew that. And then he made the provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It's so interesting to me, and even the animals understand that there is a strength and protection with the members. Did you know that when a quail nests, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? But I don't mind telling you, brethren, I don't mind telling you at all, there are times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive. A tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians, exhorting and being exhorted. And you know, the world is constant in its exhortation through television or the internet or radio, the worldliness of fellow employees, just the sinful environment to which we're exposed daily. The world is like a river running over a stone of faith. It can just slowly wear it away. And we need to have it constantly renewed. And my brethren here at Prairie Village need it. And so do I. The third point. Our old Prairie Village faithful attendance to its work. Now this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. Now, we didn't continue reading our reading in Hebrews 10 a minute ago, but we could certainly have gone on and read verses 25 through 27. So let's go back to Hebrews 10 and read verses 25 through 27, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. Hebrew writer said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the number of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Did you notice something here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend assemblies of ourselves together is called sinful, is called sinning willfully? Sinning willfully. Have you ever thought about that? That is serious business, brethren. That's very serious. When you don't come to church when you can or when you should, you're sinning willfully in the eyes of the Lord. And that is a sin. Show me a 1 hour, only a week Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she is. From the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week or for a month or less, don't come elders or teachers or preachers, I can assure you that. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter with me. And verse 58. These people cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. And Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort. Their lack of effort. Have you ever noticed that all these folks expect the building to be open? They expect it to be cool and heated and clean and paid for. They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completed. But they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in any of these areas. In every congregation, there seems to be a few who seem to be so distant and so far away from the members that the doors could be shut for a month or two before they would even know it. These passages that we just read clearly indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why, brethren and friends, why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. That's sad. How sad that is. But God certainly does not view worship to Him as optional. There are some who go to service if they haven't got anything else to do. They'll be absent because of ball practice, extracurricular school functions, family reunions, or family holiday gatherings, you name it. Or just maybe they say, I'm just too tired. I didn't sleep good last night. Well, who does? I don't. None, some rather, who are careful to attend a Sunday morning service will skip the other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Such behavior is rebellious against the Lord of glory. It places convenience of the worship, above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, I know what the Lord says, but I thank. You fill in the blanks. I know what the Lord says, but here's what I think. How does that compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read about in Acts 2:42? Look with me. Acts 2:42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brethren, they never quit. They never quit. That's why the church grew so fast. However, understand that. This is not to say that we should not be interested in work at other places. Nor is it always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides the local church. It's all right and even necessary at times to be away and visit occasionally with other churches. But no Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of the biblical emphasis on the essentiality of the local membership. This is especially true in a small congregation like here at Prairie Village. But I remind you that it was not easy for our Lord to leave his heavenly existence, take the form of a servant, suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of his trial and then the agony of the cross. Think about it. Would you do that for him? Or would you do that for sinful mankind like he did? Maybe you need to think twice before you answer that one. Just consider, what if Jesus had, if he had gone to a family reunion that day? Or what if that would have made him miss a great sporting event? Or what if he just was just too tired, and by the way, that was his only day off? The fourth point I want to make. Our prayer village, my financial support. God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that can do for individuals, we are commanded, brethren, this is not a suggestion. We are commanded to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. When we give, we are giving to the Lord. When we give, we're giving to the Lord. Surely, Acts chapter 5 and the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that very clear. So you may ask, does the church need the money? Does the church need the money? Well, sure, of course the church needs the money. Prairie Village will always need it because the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved and benevolence of the saints in need. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work that the Lord has given us to do and not in hoarding up money. As member of Prairie Village, you and I have responsibility. Yes, brethren, not only responsibility, but also a privilege to share in the support of this great work. You've heard me say this before, but please, please don't lose your soul for the love of a dollar bill. Please don't do that. It worries me more than anything. I worry about Christians that I know that may go to hell because of the love of a dollar bill. There's one more thing I'd like to mention that you owe as a member here. And you and I owe this local congregation a proper attitude towards each and every member of it. I need to love my brethren and not in word only, but in deed. We hear and know congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within them. But we owe it to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4:3 when he wrote these words, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond and peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me, please. Philippians chapter 2. Now there's a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation, one that is free of factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians 2 verses 1 through 8. I'd like for us to read that together. Philippians chapter 2 beginning in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm only one, and you're only one, but this one is important. We will each stand before God in a judgment, and we will give an account of what we have done. All of us here, I know, desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will hear it when we have used our ability to the glory of God. Many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, or nor are they against Him. They just simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They're called lukewarm by the Lord, and it is said God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. Brethren, please hear me now. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. I'm going to repeat that. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. One last passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Too many of us just simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord, admonishment of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Listen now, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." Brother, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people so that we may grow together. So we may encourage and be encouraged together. So that we may worship in harmony and peace together and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. So I ask you, if there's anyone here this morning who is not a Christian, I plead with you to come forward and repent and confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself. And then you can declare your desire to be a working member of this church if you want to. And if you've been an unfaithful member, I beg you not to leave this building in an unsafe condition. Take care of it this morning. Don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. You do that by coming forward after you've repented to God and let us pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, brethren, for hearing this sermon, and I pray that all of us make this congregation a much better congregation from now on. It is a good one now, but we can always do more. We must work. We must work while the day is come. Can we help anyone make their life right with God? If so, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.